Hey, it's Craig. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Canadian History X early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. If you like, you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. Don't forget, I have three other podcasts out there, From John to Justin, which releases every single Friday, Canada's Great War, which releases every single Sunday, and Coast to Coast, which releases every single Thursday. If you like, you can email me at craig@CanadaEHX.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram at Bairdo37. For centuries, long before Europeans ever set foot in the area that would eventually be Trochu, the indigenous occupied the land. The bison were prominent throughout the region and were an incredibly important part of life for the indigenous. The indigenous that occupied the land were the Blackfoot, and as time went on, the Cree and the Métis began to push into the region as Europeans started to settle in from the east. Today, you can actually visit an important spot in the local indigenous culture when you visit the Dry Island Buffalo Jump Park, located just to the east of Trochu. It was here where the local indigenous drove bison over cliffs and huge bison drives that occurred for centuries before Europeans arrived. The indigenous history aspect isn't the only cool part of this park either. It contains the most important Albertosaurus bone bed in the world, and it was first discovered in 1910 by Barnum Brown, and then rediscovered in 1997 by Dr. Phil Curry. Bones are still pulled out of the area dating back millions of years to when the entire area looked very different. The park also contains unique flora and fauna that are not usually found this far from the Rocky Mountains. As people settled in the area, the indigenous would often trade with them and help the new arrivals survive in a land they were not accustomed to. Remnants of the indigenous culture would be found for years on the homesteads of the new settlers. Arrowheads, bleached bison bones, and other items were all found throughout the region. The start of Trochu would come thanks to a man named Armand Jean-Louis Léon Trochu, who was born on Belle Island in 1857. The nephew of General Louis Jules Trochu, who was the governor of Paris in 1870 during the Franco-Prussian War, he began work as a stockbroker in Paris, but his unique life would eventually lead him to Canada and the life as a rancher and the founder of the community that now has his name. It is believed that Trochu arrived in Calgary in 1902, and he stayed there for a time before moving to the ranch of Raymond Malherbe. Louis, the son of Raymond, began to tell stories of ranches in the area, and this intrigued Trochu, who decided to explore the region for a suitable site for a ranch of his own. Before long, he found the perfect site, and Trochu got down to work to build up his new ranch, which included hiring hands and getting lumber shipped in from Didsbury. Trochu was described as, quote, "a distinguished-looking gentleman of medium height and build with a beard and neat appearance. He was a fine gentleman, a good friend, and a man with a big heart. Those who remember him say that he had no enemies, and one would never hear an unkind word from him." End quote. In 1905, Armand Trochu, Joseph de Wilder, and J.C. Eckenfelder, who had all come from France separately, came together and formed the St. Anne Ranch Trading Company. This ranch would soon become a focal point in the area for a growing French-speaking community that offered services to travelers, including a stopping house, store, blacksmith shop, and a dance hall. Before long, the ranch had 100 head of horses and 200 head of cattle. The post office would open on September 1, 1906, with the name of Trochu Valley, and with Trochu himself being the first postmaster. He would haul the mail himself through the region using a team of horses, which he did for several years. Residents would slowly begin to arrive in the area, but it was still hard times for many. The winter of 1906 was described as one of the worst in memory, with the cattle losing their hair and almost their hide from struggling through hard, deep, and crusted snow. It was the belief of the three men that the railroad would come through the area near their ranch. The CPR had come through the area with surveyors for a proposed line that would bring the railway from Acme to the Calgary and Edmonton Railway. Trochu also knew the president of the CPR, so everyone was confident that the railroad would come through the area. Surveyors were soon hired to create a town site, and even as the snow was still deep, lots were sold, and as soon as the snow melted, building began. The first structure built in the community was the police barracks, followed by a butcher shop and a Roman Catholic church. Of course, the CPR never built this proposed line, and the old town site of Trochu would never grow beyond a few buildings. On March 31, 1906, one of the worst disasters to ever hit the area occurred when a fire broke out outside the town. It began when two homesteaders named Taylor and Gibb took lumber out to their homesteads. They wanted to protect it from a prairie fire, so they burnt a fire guard around it, but this fire soon spread out of control. Several men came out to help fight the fire, and it was under control, but then it was hit by a strong wind and quickly began to move across the landscape. Right in its path was the St. Anne Ranch, and those fighting the fire were behind it, leaving the St. Anne Ranch at its mercy. Only Trochu himself was at the ranch at the time, and he had a valuable stallion in the barn and 100 horses enclosed in the pasture. A local ranch hand took the fastest horse in the region at full gallop to beat the fire and get to the St. Anne Ranch to save the horses and cattle, but the flames were traveling faster than the horse. As luck would have it, the coulee protected the ranch itself, but the horses in the pasture remained in the path of the flames. Sadly, half of the horses were killed in the fire, while coal stored in a dugout caught fire and burned for the next 2 months. Many individuals, including a local rancher named Jack Ross, lost their homesteads to the flames. The area of the fire was reported to have covered from north of Olds across the Red Deer River and to the south. Around 1909, 8 sisters of the Catholic faith left France and arrived in the Trochu area to begin new life helping the people of the area, while also setting up a school, convent, and hospital. Their new home would become a stopping place for individuals traveling from Trochu to Olds and back. A temporary hospital was soon set up, and it would remain operating until 1911. It was busy as well, with 16 patients being admitted between August 23, 1909 and December 21, 1909. The sisters also set up a small chapel, and Holy Mass was first celebrated there on September 16, 1909. On November 21 of that year, they opened a school, and within 1 year, 25 children were attending the school. 1 year after the sisters arrived, a location for the convent hospital was chosen on top of a hill near the community. Construction soon began, even while at the same time the sisters were working day and night due to a typhoid fever epidemic that hit the area. The winter was also bitterly cold that year, but construction continued and was soon completed. There were no architects for the building, so it was designed by Mother Marie-Louise Recton, based on her sketches. In 1912, the Department of Health officially recognized the hospital. The hospital, with its multiple floors and expansive design, was easily one of the most beautiful and imposing buildings in the entire area. More sisters would come across from France as well to work at the convent and hospital. The convent would sadly be torn down in 1975, but the work of the sisters over the course of those 65 years lives on, with the St. Mary's Hospital that operates to this day in Trochu.
I'd like to take a break away from the episode for a second to talk about ExploreNet. I've spent most of my life living in rural areas in Canada, and I remember the days of dial-up internet and spotty high-speed service. For the past 3 years, I have been a customer of ExploreNet, and I can honestly say that it is the best rural internet I have ever had. My job as a podcaster means I spend a lot of time researching online, interviewing people over Zoom, and uploading content. Through it all, ExploreNet has provided me with excellent service. When I'm not working, I enjoy streaming content on several streaming platforms, and even doing some online gaming with a friend in Ontario. ExploreNet allows me to do all of that with ease. Right now, they offer up to 50 megabits per second on their new LTE network with unlimited data. Their service has only become faster and better since I first signed on. Today and beyond, ExploreNet is investing in building and upgrading the network at a rapid pace. ExploreNet is rural, and that is their route, and that is their focus. For more information about rural internet options in your area, go to explorenet.com or call 1-866-285-2253.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New life would come for Trochu around 1910 when the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway built its line through, and it laid down its own town site. The original town site was soon abandoned by settlers as they moved to the new town. Entire buildings were transported intact and new ones were built at the new site. And it would take some time for the first passenger service to start in the area, and that would not begin until 1913. It didn't matter, though. Everyone was ready to start the move. With that move, the importance of the St. Anne's Ranch soon declined. But you can still see the St. Anne's Ranch today, and several of the original buildings still stand. On the 8-hectare site, there is a De Wilder house, the Eckenfelder house, and a barn. The ranch played such an important part in the eventual creation of Trochu and the settlement of the area that it was made a provincial historic resource in 1989. During these early years, the Trochu area attracted some very unique characters. There was a Frenchman named Napoleon Gregor who wanted to start a business in the area. He erected huge sheds outside the town for the purpose of storing hay, but his business never did well. Within 2 years, he sold the sheds and hay to Pat Burns, the man who helped start the Calgary Stampede. There was Manly Downing, who was noted for spinning a tall tale. One day, he came into town to celebrate something, but he ended up celebrating too much, and the local police confronted him. Downing jumped onto his horse to ride away, but the constable grabbed the bridle. Downing then slipped the bridle over the horse's ears and rode off as fast as he could, leaving the constable to hold the bridle in the fading distance. Downing also broke horses for the Boer War, and would become known as one of the best horsemen in the area, bringing up hundreds of horses from Montana. He even made the semifinals of the Calgary Stampede in 1912. Soon after the new town site was built up, a coal mine was opened just to the east of Trochu in the Ghost Pine Valley. Small coal mines had actually been operating in the area since 1903, but it was in the 1910s that things really got moving. Soon enough, several coal mines sprang up in the area, often operated by the individual who owned the land. The Ghost Pine Valley coal became a lucrative business in the area, and coal from the area began to be shipped out on a regular basis to Calgary for use elsewhere in the country. The coal industry would continue to thrive, but before long it eventually started fading away, and it was gone for good with the closing of the Halbert Mine in 1965, after 54 years of operation. In 1946, a man named Dr. A.J. Stewart Hay would come to Trochu, and for the next 27 years, he would serve the medical needs of the community. During his time in the area, he had a 5-acre property that had 60 species of mature trees and shrubs. It was a beautiful area, but with his sudden death in 1973, the town wondered what it was going to do. He was so well respected that even though the town had 900 people, 1,000 people attended his funeral. The town decided the best way to honor the man so many respected was to turn his land into something everyone would enjoy. Throughout the 1980s, the town developed an arboretum on the property so that many could enjoy the beautiful area he helped create. Today, the Trochu Arboretum is called an oasis on the prairie, and it now features over 1,000 varieties of trees and shrubs through the property. There are several species from well outside of North America as well, including a Manchurian elm and a Siberian larch that is quite imposing. Today, that arboretum still exists and can be visited throughout the summer. Without a doubt, the most recognizable aspect of Trochu is the giant golf tee that overlooks the golf course in town. The golf tee isn't just the largest in Alberta or Canada, but the entire world, and it has to be seen to be believed. I visited it, and it is quite the structure as it rises 40 feet in the air on a cliffside, making it a perfect spot for Instagram photos. The golf tee came about in 2009 when the ATB Financial Company held the T-Normus contest. First prize in the contest was the world's largest golf tee, and town councillor Bill Cunningham felt that Trochu was the perfect place for it. A video was shot at the golf course which included 1,618 golf balls spelling out T is for Trochu, and that's four in the golf sense and spelling. The video was sent in, and soon enough, Trochu, along with Camrose and Mairwain, were announced as the finalists. The public would then vote on which community would get the structure, and Trochu won with over two-thirds of the vote. If you want to learn more about the fascinating history of the small town in Alberta, near Three Hills, called Trochu, then the best place to go is the Trochu and District Museum and Tourist Information Center. The center features the history of the area from the early French settlers in the 1900s all the way up to nearly the present day. Available to see in the museum are many artifacts, including antique printing presses used by the local newspaper for decades. Other exhibits highlight the coal mining history of the area, St. Mary's Hospital and Convent, the World Wars, and the sports history of the area. There's also a walking tour available of the community that follows the downtown murals that present the history in a fascinating and interesting manner. I hope you enjoyed that episode and my look at the community of Trochu. If you did, please leave a rating and review. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram at Bairdo37. Again, if you like, you can support the podcast through Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. And I'd like to say thank you to all of my wonderful patrons, and if I mispronounce any names, I do apologize. Matthew Gartheau, Lionel Romaine, Dr. Bob Turner, one anonymous person who I really appreciate, Randy Hayden, Doug Campbell, Reg W., Deborah Carlson, Francis Helbling, Nick Zinri, Shannon Marshall, Clinton Martinez, Dimitri Shove, Aaron O'Hara Myers, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Roy, Luke Guess, J.P. Bear, Jason Hall, and Iris Gray. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.